be joined here in a couple of minutes by Mark Lehner and Dr. Billy Goldberg, the guys who had a number one bestseller a couple of years ago with Why Do Men Have Nipples? And then this year came out with the follow-up, Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex? And other questions you'd only ask a doctor after your third whiskey sour. That's the
that is
what
the,
was the answer to the first question, by the way?
Why do men have nipples?
Yeah, I never heard that.
Because we all have them when we're born. It's just part of the human body.
Okay. There's never been a purpose, though.
No.
Okay. Except for, you know, rings and stuff.
To tell you when you're cold.
For rings.
Oh, that was worse than mine. Ew.
Mark Lehner is on the line already. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good.
Welcome back to the show. We're looking for Billy right now, so we'll get him on here in just a second. But it's a pleasure to have you back on, and congratulations on the book. Was it a good year for this book?
I think it's been a great year for the book.
Did it make your publisher say come out with book number three yet?
Yeah, we're under constant unnatural pressure.
Oh, come on. This is a great new career for you guys. You've got a whole series here. You're the new Chicken Soup.
Yeah. I think we're going to be, it's like a car company. There'll be one every year.
There you go.
For the rest of everyone's life.
By the way, since I mentioned Chicken Soup, does Chicken Soup have remedial qualities?
I think there have been some studies when Billy gets on, he can give you more of the scientific stuff. But I think ultimately we decided that any sort of warm liquid probably opens up nasal passages a little bit, and also there are nutrients in chicken soup. I don't think chicken soup is it's probably not any better than cream of tomato soup or pasta fagioli or
how about beef barley
or someone was beef barley. That's the best. That's the panacea. It cures anything. Anything in the world. But, you know, some soups are better applied topically, I think.
Oh! That's the title of the next book.
Just spread it on your chest and you'll, or someone else's chest, and just make sure it's cooled down a little bit.
Do they still have that stuff? Is Vicks VapoRub, is that
yes,
still around?
Yes, absolutely. It
man,
is.
Man, I hated the smell of that stuff when I was a kid.
What about the smell of Bengay?
Same thing.
Yeah. Got used
actually,
to that, though.
Recently, they did some research involving some of the stuff that feels as if it heats up a little, and it was determined that it actually has some benefits. So you never know. You know, ultimately, all mothers will turn out to be diabolically correct about everything.
All right. We're still waiting to track down Billy, by the way. We keep getting his voicemail on the other line. So you're going to have to step up here and be the expert until we can get him on the phone.
Well, I just make things up, so.
The
right.
guests
I have no
we love.
Problem taking over.
All right. Have you ever had this? This just happened to me the other day, and it was a morning when I was about to go out and play tennis, which is why I was sore even before I went to play. I got that first thing in the morning Charlie horse in my calf. You know, the one where your muscle decides, okay, you're not fully awake yet, but I'm going to make you wake up really, really quickly by getting as hard as a rock. Not only that, I'm going to make all five of your toes point in five different directions.
Oh.
What causes that? What's that about? What's the message I'm getting from my body at that point?
I think you've obviously made some pact with the devil.
He does make stuff up.
I do believe, though, that is a cramp.
That's a cramp.
And not a Charlie horse.
There are all sorts of things that happen with muscles. They have to metabolize certain sugars and glycogens, and there's lactic acid that builds up in muscles. And when we've been sleeping for a long time, the body is in such a different state. I mean, there are people, for instance, who wake up, and if there's not an open toilet somewhere near them, then, you know, you don't want to be in the same house.
Right.
Things just get started very quickly for certain people. But the... That strange cramp that people get in their toes, we have found to be somewhat genetic, actually. I don't know if those weird... And some people get cramps in their fingers, and the toe thing is particularly painful. But for some reason, it runs in families.
And that pain remains throughout the day. Even after you've actually rubbed it, the major pain has gone away, still later on in the day, you'll go, oh, man, that still hurts.
Mm-hmm. But I do like my theory. I think you're making small transactions with
Satan.
The devil. And in return,
Satan.
You're just getting cramps in your toes. It's probably not a bad bargain, actually.
All right. Now, Kevin, you said that's not a Charlie horse.
That's
a cramp. What's
right.
the difference?
Charlie horse is like if you go up and punch somebody. Charlie horse is more of a bruise. where if you get punched in the thigh really hard, you'll get that knot there, and then it kind of gradually goes away and turns into a bruise. A cramp is the muscle locking up, usually from dehydration.
I always called that a Charlie horse.
Not in my world.
Mark, you're the expert. What do we call it?
Oh, I'm not the expert in his world.
You know who is the expert in his world?
Satan.
Yeah. Beelzebub.
No, I've always thought that I don't mean to start trouble. I don't mean to come between make trouble in this happy family of yours.
Thank you.
I always thought a Charlie horse and a cramp were synonymous.
Apparently, in Kevin's world, there's a lot more hitting. I think that's what we've learned here.
You
today.
Used to get that thing? Okay, here's my question.
You used to do it to my brother on purpose. Charlie horse.
You still
punch.
Do. Used
no,
to.
Not now.
Oh, okay.
He'd cry.
Here's the question. Men and women and gas. First of all, do men really have more gas? Because it would seem...
You don't mean gasoline in the car.
I mean...
Bodily...
Flatulence.
Okay, yes.
Which I've wanted to say that on KMOX.
Well, you have now.
There you go.
All right.
Do men have more and... Or no? And why some people seem to have it more than others? Is it diet?
Well, we're talking about there's men, there's women, and then there's Kevin.
Yeah. My answer to that would be that it's just more fun for guys.
You hit them and
it's comedy.
Yeah.
Look, there's absolutely no evidence that men have more gas than women or women have more gas than men or less gas. There, I think it's interesting. There, we did find when it comes to peeing, for instance. That women, because women are generally smaller, they have smaller bladders, and the smaller your bladder, the more quickly it'll get filled up, probably. But with something like flatulence, intestinal gas, no, there's no difference. There are probably cultural factors here. For some reason, in our culture, men think that it's not only acceptable, but I think attractive for some.
Definitely
simply
funny.
Relieve themselves of any internal pressure.
Now, wait a second. I don't think you can use the word attractive there. I don't think any man thinks, man, I'm going to get her hot for me by letting one rip here. It's not attractive. I think discretion is more the word.
Men lack discretion, I would say.
Yeah.
In the area of flatulence. Which brings up a whole other interesting issue that's not even in our book, but I can put it out. We can get Kevin's take on it.
All right. I'm in the expert today.
Is it better to leave a bathroom smelling like the whatever natural outcome of someone being in there has been, or that smell scented with lavender?
Kevin?
I think it would be better to just go au naturel.
Oh, I say please.
Because when you start piling stuff on top, the only thing that works is the match or candle. But unscented candles, please.
The match is a great invention.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I bet if you go to Carol's house, the bathroom has potpourri in it.
It does not.
Mine
does
at home, but that's not because of me.
We don't have potpourri at all because I have children who think, oh, wow, this is something cool to throw. I have varying sprays. And there are all these new odor eliminator.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is lavender.
Well, there are things that people can do if they seem to think that they're overly flatulent,
mm-hmm.
what normal flatulence is.
Get a lifelong subscription to Beano.
Well, you can, there are food allergies, for instance, that can account for flatulence. And then there are some simple things that make a lot of sense when you just think about them, since flatulence is a kind of, you probably know this, that cattle flatulence has a significant a greenhouse effect.
Yes, mm-hmm. Methane.
Methane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So same stuff in people. I think there are people I know who are probably having a more detrimental effect on the earth.
All I'll say on this subject is you mentioned before that the toe thing might be genetic. In my family, this is absolutely genetic, because when I was a kid, the rule was get in the bathroom before dad. and now that I'm a dad, the same rule applies in my
house. That's why I asked the question. It is get in the bathroom before dad.
Well,
there are, look, there then, you know, discounting just food allergies, and many people are sensitive, of course, to beans, and there are foods that can cause more gas, onions, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, things like that. Chewing gum creates, people tend to swallow more gas. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Oh, car carbonated beverages.
Sure.
Spicy.
Because you're literally swallowing gas.
You're swallowing gas. Right?
Yeah.
So I mean, there are things to do, but it's just one of these. It's not as if one person actually produces that much more volume of gas than another person. There are people who are just a little more sensitive to it, and then people who just have such great self-esteem that they're just willing to trail a kind of miasmic cloud beam.
Like Pigpen.
I really do think it goes back to discretion. I think, Mark and Kevin, when you and I aren't looking, women like Carol and others who are not going to ever do it in front of us, they're going off to another room.
Oh, listen. The things we all do when we know people aren't looking, it's a completely different human being.
Yeah.
The human beings we are when we're under some sort of surveillance. So.
Some sort of surveillance. Called your spouse.
Talking with Mark Lehner about the book, Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex? More questions you'd only ask a doctor after your third whiskey sour here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Let me get to a couple of other things here. My daughter asked me the other day, and this is not a human body question, but I think it's a question that you address in the book. We were talking about Iran and nuclear devices because she saw it in the newspaper.
Yes.
And she asked me, is it true that if there is an atomic bomb blast, that only cockroaches can survive?
Well, this is something that I did a lot of research into.
Really?
Yes, I actually detonated a device. I hope people know that I take these questions seriously, and I'm not just going to throw out some nonsense.
You are the Jose Padilla of science.
A small device.
Yeah?
In my yard.
Nobody could ever actually test this. I don't think anybody went to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and looked for cockroaches.
Oh, no, but here's the interesting thing. There is radiation out there. There's radiation from all sorts of things. One of the things that's always struck me as particularly ludicrous in modern human behavior is dental x-rays. Who would submit themselves to something where the person giving it to you runs out of the room as quickly as possible before you get your x-ray?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a little unnerving. The thing about cockroaches.
And by the way, about the dental x-rays, I've never been convinced that little lead apron they're putting on me is helping me at all, because I noticed they don't put it over my genitals or my brain. Apparently,
yeah, cover the chest, but don't worry about your brain damage.
Apparently, my pancreas will be all right when this is done, but my brain, I'll be fine.
Are they trying to cover your lungs and that's it, really?
Well, given the sensitivity of male genitals, I don't know why. Through evolution, there wasn't a small skull that developed there.
That's
a brain.
Visual.
Apparently, the brain doesn't actually have feelings. When they do brain surgery, they don't have to anesthetize actually the brain itself. Testicles have feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be an enormous evolutionary mistake.
But, yeah, which is why you will see men hitting a soccer ball with their head, but not the other way around.
Well, do you ever you notice on those penalty kicks? Right, no one covers their heads.
Yeah. Could you imagine if you had to? You wouldn't go anywhere. Oh, my hat's too tight.
Anyway, back to the cockroaches.
Back to the cockroaches. Thank you.
Please.
What enables cockroaches can survive. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but something, it's like, I don't know if it's 10 to 100 or some order of magnitude more radiation than people can. But there are a number of reasons for this. One, cockroaches are much simpler kinds of organisms, so there's much less that can go wrong with them. But the critical factor here is that cockroaches have very short lifespans, so they're not going to develop the sorts of cancers and sicknesses that people can when exposed to radiation. So there are a number of sort of scientifically based reasons that cockroaches can survive much more radiation than human beings.
I can't believe you haven't actually tested this. Don't you have a microwave? Get some cockroaches, get a microwave. That's your next book.
I don't even want to think about it.
It's the Paul Harris Show. Carol Daniel and Kevin Wheeler in the studio here with me, and on the phone, Mark Lehner. And we've tracked down Dr. Billy Goldberg, his co-author of Why Do Men Have Nipples, and the new bestseller this year, Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex. Billy, how are you?
I am here. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. I personally, I blame Mark.
I that's my tactic on everything. Is I've been blaming Mark for everything since we became such good friends. So, Mark, stop it.
All right.
Let's get to a couple of other questions that I have, and then Kevin and Carol, my co-workers, have questions for you here. Taking a shower this morning, I got water in the ear. You know, have to do that. Got to clean out the ear. But I mean that water inside the ear, that water that makes you hop on one leg, pounding your head, trying to get the water out. What's the deal there? Why is water doing that? What's actually happening there?
You know, I was wondering if you were going to use the pound on the side of the head or the hop on one leg or both of those together, because everyone has their own remedy. You know, people think for some reason that the water that gets in your ears has like a direct communication to your brain so that your brain is going to get waterlogged. It basically gets in the external, you know, ear canal. And, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, it eventually will dry out. Sometimes people are more prone to getting ear infections, swimmer's ear, external ear infections, and that's the only reason that you need to dry it out. But most of the time it dries on your own. There are some drops that help dry it out, some alcohol-based drops that help dry it out. We found this kind of strange product, which is actually a hair dryer for the ear.
What?
It's the Sahara ear dryer.
Okay,
cool.
And it's a small little plug that you put in your ear.
That's for synchronized swimmer's ear.
That's when you use two of them, for each ear. True. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually to dry out your ear. So if you're very, very concerned, you can go online, look for the Sahara ear dryer, and I have no stock in the company, so I have nothing on, you know, I'm not hawking the product.
But no matter how long we think that lasted, nobody on record has ever had that, like, become a permanent condition. It's not possible, right?
There is nobody who has ever drowned from water in the ear.
All right, Kevin, you got a question?
Yeah, let's stick with the ear theme, because what the heck's going on with the hair coming out of my ears now that never did before?
You're growing older.
Yeah, but why? Why does that happen? Why do I have to have?
I'm so glad you asked.
These long things. I mean, it bugs and it tickles.
Because
and
I
it's
sit
irritating.
Next to him in the studio, and I have been wondering.
Yeah, it's just like the wild one, though. You get like one. And
wait a second. Do you have hair that's long enough it's coming out of your ear and it's banging into Carol?
That was just until the other day when I
think I'm gonna really rely on Billy for the exact length, but we have information about the world's longest ear hair ever. It was a gentleman in India.
Oh, it's not Andy Rooney?
The hair was apparently long enough for him to use as a kind of one of those comb overs. You know, he just combed it over.
Oh my gosh.
It looked like he had a full head of hair when he swirled, you know, swirled around like, you know, cinnamon on one of those cinnamon buns. It's a nice look.
So are you ready for the length?
Yeah.
Can I get a drum roll? 11.5 centimeters long.
Wow.
Wow. You notice how they use the metric system.
Yeah, that's to throw us off.
Have you ever seen a hairy eared woman?
No.
Hairy lips.
Hair, ooh. But that characteristic, it's sex linked, so it's linked to the male chromosome, and that's why we get it as we get older. But women don't tend to get hairy ears, and some people just tend to get it more than others. It's kind of one of those things of getting older. It shows you that we're all mortal.
But is there some sort of biological need for us? I guess there probably was in a previous species in the evolutionary chain that they needed to have, like, earmuffs that they grew themselves.
Oh, see, I was just going to make an earmuff joke, and then there you go.
Sorry.
Man!
You know, the other theory is that only cockroaches and men with extraordinarily hairy ears will survive.
Cool. I'm going to be around forever. Then.
I love how he ties it all together.
You got another
now,
one, Carol?
I have another one. I had my teeth whitened, not because I'm headed to Hollywood or anything. It was just a gift that someone had given me. And the dentist told me that a person's teeth can be more porous than another person. And you often have no idea of knowing how porous until you do the whitening thing, because they basically strip the enamel. Is that true, and why is that? Is that just a hereditary thing that some teeth are just Swiss
cheese? I didn't know
teeth
were porous at all.
I had not heard that until I went through the teeth whitening process.
Yeah, that is true. And you know, people who have more porous teeth, they're more prone to staining. There's a lot of things that can eat away at the enamel. You know, a lot of those products that you use, when you use repetitively, they can eat away at the enamel. Very acidic things. Like, you know, some people don't say you shouldn't really suck on lemons all the time because it can eat away at that. But, yeah, I mean, those are things that the dentist will pick up. And there's something about the dentist that they love to scare the heck out of you.
And it did.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. So I floss every day for that week after I go to the dentist, and then I don't floss for like 5 months, and then I floss the day before.
You know, yeah.
So I'm like bloody, and I'm in so much pain even before I get there.
Exactly. Yeah, all you want to hear them say to you is, well, I see you've been doing a nice job of flossing. Nothing else matters. You can have 11 cavities, but if they say you've been doing a nice job of flossing, that's all that matters.
I don't know how much pain I'm in.
Dentists reduce us to children, you know. We love to be praised for any for flossing, and also, you know, you ever notice how dental hygienists always judge you and your life? You know, you're
doing a really good job.
You know, or you smoked a cigarette. You drank black coffee. You're not flossing, you're not brushing, and I'm going to punish you now by giving you the most sadistic cleaning you have ever had.
I just like when I get the little plastic monkey when I'm done.
My dentist growing up had very hairy knuckles. And he used to give us the laughing gas for everything. I think he just liked, you know, gassing kids. And then you would see this big, like, bear paw coming at you. Like, are you getting sleepy? And this hair.
Really, you know, they call that these days, that's called a pervert, not a dentist.
Oh, my God.
My mom used to say that. We're taking you to the pervert. I thought that was just a joke.
Oh, my God.
Carol was just in the newsroom with Kevin Killeen, one of our news guys, because he came in and he said, Carol, I need you to crack my back. And so I actually ran to my office during the commercial break, and I come back in, and I go into the newsroom, and there's Carol on top of Kevin on his back, and I think to myself, where are those sexual harassment office forms? What is going on here? So what is the whole notion of cracking somebody else's back to help them out, Billy?
I can't believe they fell for the crack the back excuse. I've tried that one so many times. I never can get anyone fall for it. No, you know, we talk about cracking knuckles in the first book because, you know, people just are obsessed with that cracking sensation. And basically all it is a popping of the, you know, the fluid that's in between joints and stuff. And with the spine, there's not necessarily fluid, but there's a little air that pops and you hear popping of some of the ligaments. But people are obsessed with it. It's not particularly dangerous. The one thing, I don't let anyone crack my neck. I don't want anyone to piss me.
Yeah.
I
completely understand. Although I've heard people do it, and they move it, and they make that cracking sound, and that's just the same thing. There's no actual bone cracking there. It's the release of whatever is in there.
Yeah, and well, in the knuckles again, it's little air bubbles in the synovial fluid, the joint fluid. I'm not exactly sure what it is in the spine, but
Is it in the ankles? I have a 7-year-old who cracks his ankles at
thing.
Will.
Any of those joints.
Okay.
The back itself, I'm not exactly sure. I imagine it's the same thing.
All right, I want to ask you a question because it's in the book, and I think it's a great topic as we come to the end of the football season. We get to the playoffs, and the bowl games are here for the college kids. The notion, and it goes back a long way, that athletes who have a big game tomorrow shouldn't have sex tonight. Is there anything that backs up any correlation between those two?
Now, you're touching on one of my... I love that sports chapter that we have in this new book, because there's just some wacky questions in there that are really funny. And this question is one of the ones that I really love. Yeah, the whole idea that you abstain from sex before the game, that, you know, the idea is that testosterone, and you lose some testosterone when you ejaculate, it causes aggression, and you don't want to lose that. Also, that it could exhaust you. That we have a great quote in the book from Casey Stengel, who basically says, it's not that people have sex the night before the game, it's that they stay up all night looking for it.
I always thought that was something the coaches just made up to scare you because they don't want you out of your room the night before.
Yeah, you know, there's no secret behind it, and there are people who you know, need to have sex before the game, and there are other people who don't. You're not losing any strength, and you're not gaining any aggression by abstaining. It's interesting. Muhammad Ali was one of those people who used to abstain from sex before a big fight, so it worked for him. You know, I don't ever give up an opportunity. My opportunities are not that frequent, so I take them when I can get them.
Yeah, I do too. I just keep thinking about every Major League Baseball player whose manager tells them, you know, every game's a big game. Really, 162 times you're not having anything the night before because you got a game tomorrow?
No, they got the slump busters. You never heard of a slump buster?
Well, that's why you pick a sport where you don't have that many games.
All right, give me one or two things you're working on for the new book.
Well, we really haven't figured out exactly what the new book is going to be. We want to try and mix it up a little bit. So we're going to still follow the whole question idea, but we're trying to look for something new. So we really haven't, you know, we've gotten questions already for the new book, but we haven't really figured out where to go with them. So we're open to suggestions. If anyone has any great ideas, we're happy to, you know, to steal them from them.
In the meantime, pick up book number 2, which is Why Do Men Fall Asleep After Sex? More questions you'd only ask a doctor after your third whiskey sour. Guys, it's always a pleasure. Hope you have a happy holiday of your choice.
Same to you guys.
Thank you.
It was great.
We'll talk to you in the new year. Dr. Billy Goldberg and Mark Lehner here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.